What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All eyes on a Green Bay practice field and Jordan Love's knee. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We got so much for you today. The show's jam-packed. We start with some video footage, Pearl. I know you saw it.
Yeah, Jordan Love was out on the practice field doing Perloff-like dance moves, moving around pretty good.
Yeah.
So you know I'm an expert on this subject, right?
You claim to be. I know that you are.
I sprained my MCL skiing last winter and have been in physical therapy.
Honestly, the fact that there's no video of that is one of the great crimes.
Well, I was going down that mountain pretty fast. You would have had to have a cameraman in the right spot. When I say going down, not on skis, I mean off skis, flying down on an icy mountain in the Poconos. So Jordan Love has a strained MCL. Same thing that knocked Jimmy Butler. I'm an expert. Now my eyes are open for this. You could be out for 4 weeks, but if you PT for 8 hours a day, mm-hmm. you shoot it up, you can definitely play. Like, if he wanted to play, the question is, and we have a vested interest, we both have the Packers going to the Super Bowl.
We do.
The question is, if you look big picture, is it worth it for him to play? With a brace, I don't think there's a massive risk of re-injury, but let's face it, do they need him this week? I say no. This is a great opportunity to sit him for a week and just hang around, and wait for Will Levis to hand you the game.
Okay. Well, yes, unless Will Levis gets some kind of brain transplant, Frankenstein style, before the game. You know, he's a guy maybe you can count on making a big mental error. I get what you're saying.
Maybe,
definitely. And the Titans are a 2-point favorite in this game, which kind of reflects, I think, that Love is not going to play.
Right. It feels like that's Malik Willis time. But this is a hang-around game, just like last week. I feel like the Packers, I mean, their defense looked crazy, stepped up to the challenge last week.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Richardson's inconsistency kind of helped them. I don't know if the Colts are that good of a team.
But Titans offense is terrible.
Oh, I'm with you. I mean, if Levis can't get the playmakers the ball and if he's going to have bad turnovers, I mean, how many of these games in week two, you know, these out of nowhere losses came down to turnovers? The Ravens game was like that. There's a lot of games that were like that. So, yeah, it's those turnovers are crucial. But here's the thing, though, about Jordan Love. There just might be a reality here that this knee is going to be a thing for the season. That just might be the reality.
Based on what medical science
here. Well, I'm just saying, how are you going to get so healthy? You know, like, I don't know how you're going to, outside of your bye week, which doesn't come until week 10. So you're not even close.
But it's not torn, so you're not going to cut on it anyway. So it's just a matter of time.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. Is it a matter of time or is it a matter of getting used to playing with this injury and, you know, getting used to what it's going to be like? And not only that, getting your wide receivers used to what life is going to be like now if your knee's a little bit compromised, and getting your offensive line a little more used to it. Because, you know, the more they get cohesion, this is such a young team, the Green Bay Packers, the more cohesion they have, I think the better off it is. And if there's not a huge risk of a massive re-injury, and if Love has to play a certain type of way, I kind of like Tennessee as I'm not disrespecting the Titans here, but I would say a little bit of a warm-up game before you play the Vikings. That game's important.
Right.
Brian Flores might really have something in store for you for that in terms of defense. I might want to be out there a little bit with my offensive line. I might want to be out there with my receivers. Hey, this is what I can do. This is what I can't do. You were used to me rolling out to my right, and I'm hitting you here. Well, it's going to look a little more like this now. I kind of like that before a very important division game against Minnesota.
Oh, get him on the field.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this team. They are a young team. They've had, famously, all these first-round picks on defense. They kept drafting defense when Aaron Rodgers was there. So maybe you're right. The Colts were bad last week, but I feel like all these guys, if you put the onus on this defense, it actually makes them step up and deliver to their potential, which, I mean, they have incredibly, like, Quay Walker runs around like that guy should be a superstar.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the Packers defense never puts it together. I feel like this is their opportunity to show, you know, Malik Willis is not going to throw much. He's going to run.
Right.
They're going to hand the ball off a lot. Now, the one thing that is a little different, I thought it was surprising that the Colts just didn't put every single player in the box against the Packers last week. And then they did in the second half. I think the Packers stopped moving the ball altogether. So I do think the Titans give a little time to a backup quarterback and you'll figure it out. But all you have to do is keep it close. And I'm telling you, if Brian Callahan, the coach, lets Will Levis have the ball, he will blow that game. There's no maybe. He will definitely cost them that game.
EJ's like a no lies detected. Okay, well then still, my theory about getting Jordan Love out there, if he's going to blow the game, he's going to blow the game. If you really believe that, maybe the fact is, maybe Jordan Love is out there and he looks okay, and maybe Malik Willis is finishing the game. I don't know. Maybe you're up by two touchdowns and you feel like, all right, two touchdowns maybe isn't enough to get starter off the field in the NFL or college. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I want him out there. I want this offensive line knowing what it's like to be with Jordan Love now when he's not 100%. Because, newsflash, this is what it's going to be like for the rest of the year. Because, as you mentioned, they're not doing surgery. So this is all about pain management, pain tolerance. It's all about, finding a way.
I think it's about stability. Like, you don't want that slight tear. A sprain is basically a slight tear. You don't want that tear to go further.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. Like, the other thing, in the NFL, generally young quarterbacks always play. Like, Trevor Lawrence could have a limb hanging off and he'll show up on Sunday.
Yeah.
They do something weird. You have no idea what that medical staff can do. I mean, they probably give him these anti-inflammatories that'll help. So he can play. Right now, we don't know, but he probably will play, but I don't think they need to. I think they can beat this team anyway. And if they lose, it's a road game in the AFC. It's not impactful. You mentioned it. That's a huge game next week against Minnesota in Green Bay. I think you gear up for that one.
855-212-4227. I remember, you know, I've worked with some professional athletes. So have you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always such an interesting question about whether to take the shot, you know, the numbing shot, right? So you just can't feel anything. A lot of guys, I know we talk about, oh, just go in halftime, take a shot, and it's kind of become this thing. A lot of guys don't like taking them. And the reason why is they want to feel, where is the pain? You know, you're feeling no pain out there. You can actually do a lot more damage as opposed to when you actually are feeling the pain, you can adjust a little bit more like, hey, I've got to stop favoring this versus this. So I know what you're saying, like he'll rehab for 8 hours a day and you can shoot it up and get out there. It's not a given that all guys love to do that because in some ways you're kind of sacrificing your body. You could hurt yourself even worse.
I hear you. But, you know, the shot helps you rehab because you can't do the rehab exercises if there's pain. So generally, as someone who's had many casual weekend warrior rehabs, you know, if I had to rehab my shoulder, I couldn't do any of the exercises. He gave me a shot. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like Mr. Universe here.
Yeah.
So I just
flexing.
He's definitely going to do it. He's definitely going to do some form of cortisone shot. He probably already has. The question is, you can't do, if you do more than three, then you're risking the tendon. And they have to be smart long term. But
sure.
I don't know if I totally agree. I think most NFL players tend to get the shot.
Let's hear from Jordan Love. This was him yesterday. Says no decision yet on if he will play on Sunday, but he is hopeful.
I'm going to take the week and just take it day by day and see how it feels. But I'm not going to make any decision on that now. You know, I'm hopeful that I'll get to that point where I can get in there. But we're just going to, you know, take it day by day and see.
All right. So they're going to hold this close to the vest, probably for competitive purposes, too. Probably not smart to show your hand totally to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, make that coaching staff work.
Yeah. Well, Malik Willis, well, this isn't the same coaching staff, but in theory, right, they know him, I guess. The players do.
That's true. Is that a totally different coaching staff? Anyone hang out from the defensive side? Who knows?
I don't think so. They had a lot of turnover. Again, 855-212-4227. Let's hear from the Packer fans. We know, not just in Wisconsin, you guys are all over the country. Packer fans, I'm always shocked how many Packer fans I meet who have never really lived a day in Wisconsin. That franchise is one of those that's coast to coast should Jordan Love play, if he can protect himself, if there's, you know, a little mobility.
Yeah,
like he's
obviously
Lamar Jackson. Like he is mobile because he's a good athlete. But
he's not also he's not a running quarterback.
No,
right?
No, anyway, I don't think of him that way.
Pure pocket quarterback. He, you know who he always reminds me of? Aaron Rodgers. They look alike. The way they throw the ball off their back foot, crazy throw. He has incredible arm talent. I think he can do it in the pocket. I don't think there's any fear. This is going to be a close, ugly game with either quarterback. Tennessee is 0-2 and should easily be 2-0. They have a quality defense. They just, you know, it's very clear. If they just punted on every single offensive possession, just drop back and give the ball to the punter on first down, they'd be 2-0.
That's just insane. I mean, Bryce Young got benched this week. That had to happen in Carolina, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, how Will Levis still has the job?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Will Levis, I think, is way... I mean, he's Joe Namath compared to Bryce Young. Bryce Young is the worst statistical quarterback we've seen in 25 years.
Right, but what is he compared to his backup? Listen, it's week two. It'd be way too early to bench him, but if you have another mental mishap... By the way, this is supposed to be about the Packers. I don't know how now it's about the Titans, but if, well, you're supposed to, if you have another mental mishap 3 weeks in a row that costs your team, how do you still, as a coach, do you stand up in front of your team and say, hey guys, like, you got to play harder? Like, what? You got to play smarter. It's like, well, then why is this dude still playing?
What is relevant to the Packers in a sense? Like, what's the Packers' plan here? Do they think they can win with Malik Willis? That's a very important question for them. And I think they think they can.
I don't think many people thought they were going to win last week, and look at what they did, you know? And you're right, it wasn't pretty, but who cares? 855-212-4227. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in on Jordan Love and on the Packers. Again, this is a team Prof and I both picked to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You have them winning it, though, and I have them losing, right?
No, I'm sorry.
I went with Angela's advice, the tarot card reader, that the Chiefs would make it to the Super Bowl but lose.
Oh, so you have the Packers winning, beating the Chiefs?
That's not on our document.
Oh, do I have the Chiefs winning?
No.
I feel like Perloff now.
No, I feel like one of you have the Chiefs, one of you have the Bengals.
Perloff definitely has the Bengals.
Oh, I think, I'm not sure if Angela was in time. I picked the Bengals to win, never bet against Joe Burrow.
I think I did. I thought I picked the Chiefs. But then I was like, oh, Angela, the tarot card reader, was pretty adamant.
Wasn't Angela the day after?
She might have been. Oh,
that's,
and I was
thing,
lamenting
like,
it. That's
yeah,
what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt regret.
Ryan, thank you.
Thank you, Ryan Botcher. Good morning. Yeah, I have the Chiefs three-peating, and I feel great about it. Going against a tarot card reader, though, that's a unique, I don't know.
But is,
like,
but do
regret.
You, yeah, but is, do you feel that way because she said the Bills aren't going to win, and you kind of know that's probably the truth? Like,
yeah.
That's why.
Thank you,
proof of concept.
That's why you're like, oh, well, no. Well,
to be fair, she only said the next 5 years.
So we had this conversation right afterwards. Peter Schrager of the NFL Network has picked the right Super Bowl matchup 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
And I said, Maggie, I got great news. Schrager picked the Chiefs over the Packers. And she goes, oh, my God, and so did Angela. I'm like, it's not exactly same.
No, Angela said they would get to the Chiefs would get to the Super Bowl and lose. That's
well, I know,
what the card said. It's
you
not
understand,
Angela.
Like,
she doesn't know any. She doesn't know the Chiefs from the Packers. She's not a sports fan at all. It's the cards, Pearl.
Well, I'm just saying Peter is an outstanding NFL analyst, and tarot cards are this fake thing, and I'm not sure you made that distinction in your take. You're like, yeah, Peter said it, but the cards had this, like, you know, well, actually, I don't know.
I wouldn't start saying that the cards are all fake. It's just fate, man. You don't believe in any of that?
Oh, well, I wouldn't bet on any of that. Like, I'm not going to Angela for gambling advice.
Well, let's be honest, too. I mean, you can know all the football in the world. Picking the correct Super Bowl winner is
Schrager,
not...
Schrager has 5 years in a row.
Okay, that's great for him, but this might just be a little bit of like a lucky streak because Peter King, three-time sports writer of the year, thumb on the pulse of the league better than anyone for 40 years, never picked the right Super Bowl
Well,
winner.
Peter always said, I hate doing picks, I get them all wrong. But, I mean, are we having serious conversation here? Do you trust Peter Schrager or Angela more? We should almost put that as a poll.
It's not Angela. It's the cards. She's just the vehicle. Like, she's the, you know, conduit.
Medium.
The medium.
She's not here. We don't have to do this right now.
No, but she would even tell you. She knows nothing about sports, which I like about her. She's not swayed by any kind of biases. Like, you know, she's not some diehard Browns fan or something.
What's going on here?
What?
Do you really think those cards are telling you who's going to be in the Super Bowl?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to tell us who's in the Super Bowl, but I do believe there's like a little something to tarot card reading. You think it's all hogwash?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't think there's anything. No, I don't want to threaten the dark arts. I don't want to end up
too
on the
late.
I don't think. I think it's fun, and like she's. I think Angela is clued into human instinct a little bit, but no, I don't think that there is anything about who's going to win the Super Bowl in those cards. Because if you just shuffle them a different way.
No, Pearl, that's it. They're getting pulled for a reason.
I even think astrology is more real than that, because at least that's based on sun and star. Like, there's actually something there, not just the shuffle of a deck.
Isn't life just a shuffle of the deck, guys?
Can you guys help me out here? Am I crazy, or is Maggie a little bit peculiar on this one?
You're not wrong, but you're not right.
Who, me or Perloff?
Perloff.
Oh.
Yeah, people believe what they want to believe. If you want to be delusional, be delusional.
Put that on a shirt. That's the motto of my life. You want to be delusional? Be delusional. Listen,
I'm in a household that loves horoscopes, so if I love horoscopes, I can't really.
You love them because you think they're true?
I feel like horoscopes are very close.
Okay.
And if you really know what you're doing, like my fiance is very into them, so now I've learned more about it. If you really know, like, all your suns and moons and all that stuff, it is very applicable.
I don't know about, like, daily horoscopes, like, hey, you're going to run into someone you know today or something like that. But I do think that there are some tendencies of people's personalities depending on when they were born. You don't think that?
Nope. Wow.
Nothing,
really?
Huh?
No.
Okay.
So, wait, what's your sign?
Cancer. But I generally don't think... No, I mean, I'm an adult. Like, I don't think... I think it's cute to talk about, but I always thought it was half a bit when people are doing those things. Like, the Onion horoscope is great.
That is awesome. It's awesome. 855-212-4227. What's Jordan Love's horoscope? This is where it all started. Should he, if he can protect himself, if the knee is stable, should he be out there against the Titans? Perloff says no, I say yes. Can we get Angela on short notice?
You know, there is a science to all those. There's a long history of how that works.
What's that? Astrology?
Like con men, like tarot card readers. Like they know what they're doing, and fortune tellers. Like that is really interesting how people can tell something about you based on information you don't even know you're giving them.
That I've seen John Oliver did a whole thing debunking like mediums and all that stuff. And I totally get that. And I think it is a con. People who tell you like, oh, your Aunt Sue is trying to tell you that you da da da. But then I witnessed it in person one time. And it does kind of blow your mind. They are that good where it feels like they can get something out of someone's past that they've never met before. And it's like pretty close. Have you ever witnessed this in person?
No.
I did once at work. They did this. People Magazine did it. And they picked some random production assistant from like the way back of the room. And they were like, your Uncle John's here. She's like, what? It's crazy. 855-212-4227. Packers, Titans.
The stars, the moons.
What's in the cards? Literally, the tarot cards. You're welcome to weigh in. Good morning on YouTube. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. And on X at Maggie Gray. Again, lots more to do today. It's not the dark arts of tarot card. The spiritual, celestial, whatever. We've got boots on the ground football tonight. Jets. Patriots. Could this game be a little closer than people had previously imagined? Get to that. It's Maggie Perloff.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. All right, the debate today, should the Packers play a hobbling Jordan Love on Sunday against the Titans? You can give us a call, 855-212-4227. It's a tough decision. It's early in the season. We treat every game like it's a must-win game in the NFL, but there's only 17 games. But an AFC road game in week 3, are you really going to risk your quarterback? I think that this would be smart for them to sit him. Maggie says if he can go out there, might as well get used to it because, you know, the Packers are probably fighting for playoff life, home field, that kind of thing. This is, every game is a big deal.
Well, and not only that, I'm not trying to get Jordan Love hurt. I did pick them to go to the Super Bowl just like you, but I'm not trying to get him hurt. I'm just saying if he's going to be managing this all season, which he might be because he's not going to have surgery, if you can get out there and protect yourself, let the rest of, not only you as the quarterback, let the rest of the team get used to what it's going to be like with you not 100%. Because this could be it for the season. And you say 17 games. Geez, for now. I mean, it's only going to be a matter of time. 18, 19, well, 20. How high could we go?
Goodell's not going to add one this regular season.
Are you sure?
95% sure.
He would if he could. You are welcome to weigh in. Again, 855-212-4227. Someone has changed their name in our chat to, I don't know what it was before, whoever this was is now Maggie's Range Anxiety.
From my
electric car.
Oh.
That's what it was. CeeLo is here with us doing updates this morning. I almost had a really bad situation driving from the Sports Illustrated had a big reunion last week, and I didn't understand. I didn't even pay attention about how many miles were left in the charge of my car. And
are you a new electric charge owner?
It would be a better story if I was. No, just a moron.
Okay.
I've had it now for about a year and a half. So, no, I can't plead ignorance on this one. I'm just an idiot. But I did make it home.
And your family has a non-electric car, too.
I could have taken that one. Could have taken that one. Could have charged it while I was home.
Now, let me ask you this, because I just saw this within the last couple of days to get a little local here. Have you been hit with this electric vehicle charger? You're in New Jersey, right?
Yep.
Have you been billed for that by the state? No.
Oh, okay. No, we get money back for all of this
stuff. All right, because I saw somebody say basically that the state was looking to recover some of the tax that they're losing on those who pay for gas. So if you have an electric vehicle, they hit you with like a yearly fee now. So I was curious if you had to deal with that at all.
No, but no? Okay. I'm going to wake my husband up right now and ask him.
Maybe that was fake news. I saw somebody post that on social media, so I don't know if that's still to come or whatever. But no. I was just curious since I just learned that you're an electric vehicle person.
Yeah,
or at least
I am.
Half of your family.
Half of us are, because I do so much highway driving and back and forth. But here's the thing. They gave us a rebate because we put the supercharger in.
Okay. I know the rebates are available. It just seemed like the state was like, we're still going to get ours. So and some of that money you're saving on not buying gas, we're gonna get that back.
No, that'd be very politics.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of why I was curious. It seemed like a good time of year for there to be some sort of political connection there.
Right before an election.
Yeah.
It's a good idea to piss off car owners.
Right. Probably wait till the day after and then roll that out.
Very good. Yeah. What else you got for us, CeeLo?
All right. Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle and get a quote at progressive.com. Wanted to start with Jordan Love as well. I know you guys have been discussing it already. So we thought he's going to miss at least a month, maybe more with that MCL sprain. But he was back on the practice field yesterday, though head coach Matt LaFleur was, shocker, less than forthcoming as the media grilled him for details on Love's participation.
What was Jordan able to do for you today?
He was limited, Bill.
Was he able to do team?
He was limited.
Yes or no on team?
He was limited.
In team?
He was limited.
Regardless of how limited he may or may not have been, what does it mean to have him out there?
Yeah, I think it's always great to have your quarterback out there, but we'll see how he progresses throughout the course of the week.
Gotta love the back and forth, the dance there.
Did you edit that, or is that actual real time? I thought you were like a rapper, moving the record back and forth.
It was shortened up. I didn't do it personally. Yeah. It was in there that way, but for the sake of condensing things, I think they cut out some of the awkward silences there. I don't think they were that rapid fire hitting LaFleur with the, it's like he was on the stand with a cross examination there, but it kind of felt that way a little bit.
Wait, is this like the Green Bay press corps or the White House?
Yeah, right. They were getting after him
he
pretty good.
He was pulling a little Belichick there by Matt LaFleur on to Cincinnati.
I'm all confused. Is he limited?
Very limited.
Oh, okay.
That's all we're getting.
Is he LaFleur playing games with the Titans? Is that what's going on?
I guess.
Here?
It's amazing.
So that means he'll be out there.
Packers, Titans, and we've got the mind games going on here on a Wednesday, now Thursday. Gotta love it.
I do feel like the limited thing's annoying because there are limited guys where it's like, they did some things with the team. There's some, Jamar Chase was limited, but then he was doing some things with the team. But there's other guys where they're just on a stationary bike. It's like, that's not really practice.
Yeah.
Yep. And especially this time of year where the portion of practice that's open to the media is like stretching and warm-ups, individual drills, maybe a special teams period, and that's it. So you don't even get a good feel for what they're participating in, which is why these guys get asked the questions. When it comes to a quarterback who's dealing with an injury, these guys are less than forthcoming to begin with. Now you mix in a quarterback who's banged up, and it's going to be even more the case, which is what you heard there from LaFleur.
What's a team that's in trouble for lying early in the season?
The Niners?
The Bears? Well,
no,
the Niners with the
Niners.
McCaffrey, and the kid running back.
Yeah. Remember, Jordan Mason was like, I knew I was starting on Friday. Yeah. And it was like,
Yeah, guy. And now I like also we talked about college now has to do the same kind of transparency thing. I mean, the billions of dollars on gambling kind of make at a certain point, the coaches must hate this because I'm sure they're so used to lying about injuries.
Also, how does hockey get away with this? You can bet on hockey and you can say lower body, so it could be your ankle, could be your foot, could be your knee, could be your...
The league hasn't put in stipulations on being specific.
No, but FanDuel and DraftKings should and everyone else.
Somebody... I just saw this yesterday. I think Jason Robertson for the Dallas Stars had some sort of significant surgery over the summer, and it like just came out yesterday as you're getting ready for it. It was like weeks and weeks where there was nothing. Nothing at all.
Yeah. Does it affect your over-under, your win totals for the season, all of that stuff?
Happened with the Islanders as well. Their goalie had back surgery. Patrick Waugh is the coach now, and he accidentally revealed that to the media the other day.
Well,
and
what
the team was not, the organization was not happy about it.
Tyreek Hill's like, yeah, I just got knee surgery. Everyone's like, you just got what?
Oh, yeah, to the cop. Right. He's like, he's having knee surgery. And all of us, like, half of it was like, wow, that's police brutality. And the other half were like, wait a minute, he's got knee surgery?
Yeah. And by the way, he kind of looks like he had knee surgery. He's kind of on and off. No, I mean, it's, again, the story is not about Tyreek Hill.
No, I knew what you meant.
But it's definitely about Tyreek Hill's knee because I had a fantasy draft if it was a little too late.
Yeah, I think we all probably felt that way, right? All right, we know the Panthers benched Bryce Young after a couple lousy games immediately led to trade speculation in some places. So first-year head coach Dave Canales shooting that down right away yesterday.
Yeah, it's not something we're really considering. You know, we have a great situation with our quarterbacks right now with guys that have experience. So we love where we're at, and we're all hands on deck. We're focused on playing the Raiders this week.
With the veteran Andy Dalton at quarterback, see if he can turn things around for that Carolina offense. Week 3 begins tonight. You got the home opener for the Jets as they face the division rival Patriots with both teams at 1-1. So first chance for Aaron Rodgers to play on that MetLife Stadium field turf since he tore the Achilles in last September's Monday night opener against the Bills. This comes from my buddy Dennis Wasak from the Associated Press, who's covered the Jets forever. He noted yesterday that in the first 3 weeks of the season, Aaron Rodgers has used the following words while speaking to reporters: Bolero, perfunctory, I don't even know what this is. Bucolic? Is that a word?
Bucolic means like farm, pastoral. Right?
Very good. And this week was boondoggle. And here's how he used it, talking about the offensive focus tonight, that they need to eliminate slow starts. It would be a boondoggle to keep doing the same thing over and over and expect different results. So look, we know Aaron's a different cat, but this almost feels like one of those things where someone challenges him
to slip in a word in the
press conference each week. I'm wondering if that's what's going on here.
I think 100% that's happening. Bolero, I had no idea what that was. We learned it was a dance, like a Cuban jazz type of erotic kind of dance.
I didn't know that movie was
erotic.
It's also a form of music, I think, right?
Yeah.
Bolero?
But anyway, so some people here thought it was a car and looked up and said, yeah, a bolero. It turns out it's a very popular car in southern India or something.
You can only buy it with rupees. And I was like, that's weird.
Oh, man.
Looks like a sturdy vehicle, though.
I don't want to be an elitist here, but I don't know if bucolic is such an SAT word. I feel like you should have known that one.
I have no idea what that means.
I'm not going to take it personally or be offended. EJ, you're probably right.
None.
Bucolic?
Bucolic.
I've never heard of that one.
Don't know bucolic.
You grew up in New York City. Why would you know bucolic?
Ryan, you don't know bucolic either?
No idea.
Like a bucolic setting?
No.
Listen, I think CeeLo is right. Yeah, I know, Pearl. I think CeeLo is right. I think someone is challenging him and they're picking out words from the dictionary or something and he's weaving it in. Because Bolero that was such a stretch.
Or knowing Rodgers, he's just challenging himself.
I think you are
right. Bored. And it's like, what's my word of the week? Okay, we're going to slide that one in there. Yeah. Didn't know it. I'll admit, even though I work in the communications field, my math score was better than my verbal score.
Boondoggle, SAT, you know.
So. Boondoggle, yes, but not commonly used in a quarterback press conference, which I thought was kind of cool. So good for him.
Is this all during the week? Should we watch out post game for some sound tonight?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
This boondoggle was, I guess, when did he speak? Tuesday, I guess it would have been. So, yeah, you never
boondoggle
know.
Boondoggle of a season if they don't win tonight.
I yeah. sure will get in this game. Is this going to be the ugliest game in the history of the NFL tonight? Is this
quite possible.
Literally going to be the worst game played all season?
I mean, the Jets' travel schedule has been rough.
Jets, what is this, third game in 10 days?
Yeah, I mean, they San Francisco Monday nighter, fly home, basically like lose a day. So essentially short week, road game at Tennessee against a tough defense, and it was a bit of a struggle there. Come back home. At least they're at home, but you're a home opener on short week
against
and third game in 10 days. Yeah.
The team that will not throw the ball more than 4 yards tonight. It's going to be slow.
A lot of handing off.
Yes.
What's
yes.
the over-under on this game? I saw the spread is 6, so the Jets are favored by 6. The over-under, 38.5. Yeah, that's low. For an NFL game.
Everybody's
feels kind of high.
I mean, CJ.
I think so. I would go under.
CJ Mosley questionable for the Jets. So.
Yeah, they're banged up too.
And
yeah.
the Patriots are banged up. This is like Thursday Night Football. We haven't criticized that in a while. I think we're going to walk away from tonight's game and be like, oh, is this product up to snuff?
Well, I want to do maybe a Ramondre Stevenson prop because if the Jets can't stop the run, which they look like they can't do. They couldn't, at least on the opener.
Yeah,
last week
it was a little better last week. Not great still. Yeah. Like, they gave up yards, but then they kind of bunkered down in the red zone there a little bit.
Let's see. Rush yards over under Stevenson, 65.5.
The Patriots might be missing 3-0 linemen.
Yeah. What's that?
The Patriots might be missing 3-0 linemen.
Yeah, I know. And I think another one is hurt, too. Like, there, but.
All right, never mind.
And also, Jawan Bentley's out. Like, the Jets are going to run. The Patriots are injured, too. The Jets are going to try and run a ball every play, too.
We're next up on the depth chart, all of us sitting here right now.
Can we get two different teams? I'm sorry. Rodgers will be somewhat interesting.
What do you want, last week where everyone thought the game was going to be great? Tua ends up getting a concussion, and it was a disaster anyway.
I don't know. Give me something here.
Back-to-back AFC East matchups on Thursday night.
I know. Don't do that to America. Maggie's range anxiety in the chat says, bucolic sounds like a skin disorder. It does sound like something that could be cured like on a commercial that also side effects include diarrhea, nausea, double vision.
And what is it now again?
It's pastoral, right? Like bucolic, the country, farms.
Okay.
I get this word of the day.
I wouldn't have landed on
email
that.
Every day. I don't know if anybody else, I get the word of the day, and they're way harder than bucolic. They're words nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah, because they're always ones from like medieval London or England. It's like, oh, I'm never going to use that in a sentence.
I love it. Perloff's not impressed with
all right,
like
the word
words.
Of the day today. Here's... The word daily, de rigueur.
Say that again.
De rigueur.
De rigueur. I kind of heard that. I don't know what it means. Of the times.
Yeah.
Here's accutance, which means the sharpness of photographic or printed image.
Accutance sounds like something that clears up your skin acne.
Oh, there we go.
Accutane.
Skin disorder.
Everything's a skin disorder.
Firstling, the first agricultural produce of the season. These are hard words. Like, I don't know. Exonym. Do you know what that means,
Meg? You know what we should do? We should get one of these word of the day things, maybe not the Perloffs, and see if Rogers is just ticking them off one
by one. He's got a calendar in his locker.
That's good.
Tear away. Like, bought it in the mall.
Instead of the Dilbert calendar or something, word of the day.
Viridescent. Does anyone know what viridescent is?
See, I didn't know what bucolic meant. You think I'm going to know these words? Come on now.
It means greenish.
Greenish? Yeah. That would work for the Jets.
That
Rogers should work that one
yes.
in.
Yeah, he should.
Gangrene.
We should. Can anyone contact Rogers and
what's
give
that one?
Viridescent.
Gang viridescent. There you go.
I don't know, you were trashing our tarot card reader before. Who do you think's closer is going to get to Rogers sooner? Someone like tarot card reader or one of us? Probably the tarot card reader. I bet he's into that stuff. Anyway.
All right. Quick baseball for you. Cool scene in Milwaukee, which kicked off with this.
And Stebbins is running and delivers. Swinging and a rocket to right. Base hit. Jake Bowers hit an absolute bullet past Harper at first.
That, of course, is the legend Bob Uecker on Brewers Radio as they beat the Phillies 2-1 to clinch the NL Central title for the third time in 4 years. But this one certainly more unexpected after trading Corbin Burnes to the Orioles in the offseason and losing manager Craig Counsell to the Cubs. The guy who took over for him, Pat Murphy, knew the deal.
No one in spring training would have said the Brewers will win the NL Central. Except maybe a few guys in that room. And it just talks to one thing. This is a game about people.
And with that in mind, the Brewers held off their clubhouse celebration until Uecker was able to make it down from the radio booth to join in on the fun.
Love it.
He got a little bit of a toast there from Murphy in the clubhouse, which is cool. And they captured the other end of the spectrum as well, had the non-alcoholic beer and non-alcoholic champagne ready for the 20-year-old rookie Jackson Chirillo, plus a baby carriage for him at his locker stall. Obviously not quite yet able to partake, but was a big part of helping them capture the division title this season. And the Yankees locked up a postseason berth, beat the Mariners in 10 innings last night in Seattle, 2-1. They've got a 5-game lead atop the AL East as well with 10 games remaining. The Mariners helped them out in that one. I don't know if you saw the clip. Bottom of the 10th, first and third, nobody out. Randy Arozarena strikes out, loses his bat on the follow-through, you know, flies out of his hands. Julio Rodriguez at third's got to duck it and get out of the way, which he did. But then he just trotted off towards the dugout as if, oh, okay, like it was a foul ball. Live ball. Yankees throw down a third, easy tag, double play, and it neutralized the threat.
So he didn't try hard enough to get back to third in time.
Yeah, no.
But he would have gotten hit in the head.
Oh, yeah, the dodging bat. Sure. But like, it was just like he lost awareness then of, well, wait, this is a live play here.
I know. I felt like there should be something where, like, if you almost get clocked in the coconut with the bat, maybe you get a little grace period to get your wits about you and get back to third.
Kind of sums up the year for Seattle's offense. It's been, and for him specifically, he's had a rough year. So, or it was a slow start before he really got going, and they just don't score runs, that team. They pitch great. They're still in the wild card race technically, but they don't score enough. And they only scored one last night in 10 innings and kind of shot themselves in the foot in the rally there in the 10th.
I was in elementary school last time they won a playoff series.
Mm. I just think if a flying bat's coming at your head, maybe you get a second. I don't know. Maybe that's me.
Like it's an instant, like, yeah, dead
it's
ball.
It's a timeout.
That's it.
Like, dude almost got a concussion.
Tough spot. That's fair.
CeeLo, thank you so much. Yes. It actually is Perloff's favorite time of year. He doesn't know this yet. Not week three, not anything has to do with that. I'll explain what Perloff loves about specifically the next couple weeks. Do that next. Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of football to get to, but first, I would like bringing this up because it's something that really gets under Perloff's skin, and I know you hate this, and it's funny because you hate it and I love it, and that is baseball teams celebrating with the beer and the champagne in the clubhouse after every little thing that they win.
You so, love it? What I think do you it's great. Love about that?
So you clinch a playoff spot, great. You clinch the division, great. You clinch a wild card, awesome. Then you celebrate after the wild card round, then the DS, then the CS, obviously the World Series. I'm all about more celebrations. More is more, as Jim Harbaugh
But if you were a coach or you were a player, would you celebrate a wild card round win?
Yeah. It's like,
oh my God, would you be so terrified of jinxing yourself?
No, because everybody does it. It's not like I'm out there touching the Stanley Cup. You know, everybody does this thing. So we all have acknowledged there's no jinx attached to this. It's not like, you know, when basketball teams win a opening round, you know, playoff series, like, hey, you know, act like you've been there before. I kind of like that baseball, which is notoriously so buttoned up and for so long was not fun and you couldn't do anything because the quote unquote unwritten rules meant you were trying to be a show off. I like that they let their hair down a little bit. It's hard to make the playoffs in baseball. It's a long season.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting easier and easier.
Well, there's more teams, sure, but
yeah, I just think that I understand what you're saying, but football feels like, say it's a divisional round and you win, like there's no way there's going to be, they might dance and play music right. in the locker room, but there's no way there's going to be beer because everyone's like, there's a bigger task ahead. It's all about the championship. And baseball, it's like, God, we have no idea who's going to get out of this postseason because it's the most random sport in the history of the world.
Might as well celebrate. All of this is such a wild crapshoot. Might as well celebrate every step of the way. I wish more sports had more celebrations.
Yeah, you know? I mean, honestly, this, once again, like, I think baseball is actually hurt by the randomness of the postseason. Like, I feel like it's not like football. Like, man, we got a narrative. We got the Chiefs playing well. We got the Niners coming up in the NFC. Baseball is like, huh, I wonder if the Diamondbacks are going to get through again. Like, I just think that, I don't know. I'm not hearing a lot of hype about the playoffs, and I wonder if this, like, the fact that, like, yeah, it's a wild card round. They're going to put champagne on themselves. Like, they don't even care. I don't know. There's just something missing. Am I crazy here? Like, I bet you the ratings are going to stink for this postseason.
Well, but the thing is, don't forget about, I know they changed the wild card from just a one game winner take off to the best of three. Yeah. But I mean, all of a sudden the stakes couldn't be higher. You know, you have these elimination games. I think that's what gets casual people to casual fans to tune in.
But it doesn't.
We'll see. The Yankees are back in the playoffs this year. We'll see what happens with the Dodgers, you know. The Yankees didn't make the playoffs last year. I think whether you love them or hate them, I do think that the Yankees do drive a bit of an audience with Aaron Judge and Juan Soto in the same lineup. I think there's something to that. Stars in New York.
Haven't they been making the playoffs most of the last 10 years?
Yeah, they've made, I think, the last 5 years before that. But, you know, that was this, you know, you have Judge who was coming off this amazing season. Then the next year, you don't make the playoffs. You know, that's kind of a bit of a womp womp, you know, sad trombone.
Yeah, no, I just think, like, there's something right now about the playoffs that doesn't feel like the NFL playoffs to me feel just heavier. And I think it's like part of
because it's one game.
Yeah. It's right. Yeah, I think that's what it is, probably.
I kind of don't like that the wild card is now best 2 out of 3. I sort of like the one game, like, so much tension, even though it's been particularly brutal for the team I happen to root for. Yeah, Ryan, you seem like you want to say something about this.
I think that the wild card itself is good now just because it brings more attention to younger stars.
Mm.
When there was the one game, it was like, okay, cool. But now there's more teams that are top heavy that can be upset.
Right.
And that's the better part about the playoffs now.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, the Yankees won how many straight World Series with Yogi Berra and stuff? Because they didn't have to go through the wild card. Now the problem is you're cannibalizing the good teams.
Like, Yogi Berra.
well, Yogi won. I think he's the winningest player, right?
Yeah, he is, but we're going all the way back then.
I'm just saying, because they had no playoffs. There were no other teams. Like, right. you were there, and you were in the World Series. That was a better system for stars. Now the Yankees can be this great team with Aaron Judge and everything. You have to win all these series, so you're getting this hodgepodge of teams winning. You know, like the Nationals in 2019. So I do think, like, you're not creating dynasties. You're just having a very chaotic postseason.
Yeah, but who did the Nationals beat? The Houston Astros. And the Astros had been sort of like a mini dynasty. So just because they happened to win doesn't mean the Astros weren't doing their part. They became a juggernaut, and they were there year after year after year.
Well, true. I just think all these rounds and all these teams make it much more unpredictable, which could be good, too. Maybe people like parity in the postseason.
Let's go to Will. He's in California. Good morning, Will.
Well, good morning. How you guys doing?
We're awesome. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I meant to weigh in on this Bolero thing last week, but you weren't taking calls at the time. And I think you were kind of dancing around why he would bring up that word, but I just wanted to offer another perspective, and I'll try to move this quick. Okay. Ravel, a French composer, wrote that song in the 20s. It was a huge hit, okay? Move forward, okay? In the late 70s, there was a movie, a huge comedy hit starring Dudley Moore, and Bo Derek was in the movie. It was called 10, okay? Well, there's a point in the movie. It's a funny movie. Julie Andrews is in it. But toward the end of the movie, he ends up in the bedroom with her. And her thing, you know, when she's, you know, doing it, is she likes to put the song Bolero on, okay? She put the song Bolero on the record player, okay, in this movie, all right? And if you know the song or if you've ever heard it, it starts off very tentative, very slow. And it builds to a tremendous crescendo. It's kind of like the Stairway to Heaven of classical songs, okay? I'm just saying, it starts slow,
yeah.
And it builds up.
I think climax is the word you're looking for.
No pun intended here.
We're all thinking it.
You're thinking, yeah, I get it. Bo Derek's husband, had a really lousy movie with her starring in it called Bolero also, but it was a terrible movie. But the song was known from the movie 10. It's a funny movie, too.
Yeah.
Now, real quick, you move on through the history of time. Ice dancing became an Olympic sport sometime in the early 90s. I'm not sure which Olympics, okay? But there was a pair.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that won the gold. They were called Torval and Dean from England, okay? And the song that they performed their final song was Bolero. Okay.
Well, what are you reading off of Wikipedia? How do you have all this right at your fingertips?
I'm dating myself. I'm a little bit older than you guys, okay? And I knew the song, okay? And I knew the movie. And then you mentioned, you know, John Derek was married to her as well as Linda Evans and also a Bond girl by the name of Ursula Andress, okay? One of the early Bond movies. She was the one that came out of the water with the knife and the scabbard, you know? But anyway, you had mentioned,
everyone,
you know, the
mask
and everything. And
yeah.
It was kind of like you were dancing around this thing. But the whole time I was thinking this, the whole connection,
well,
and it ended with that, with the ice dancing, you know, pair that won the gold medal from Britain.
I have an important question. Do you know what bucolic means?
I have no idea.
Whoa, that's an upset.
You don't know what like a bucolic setting, like the woods?
The countryside? No. Will,
I don't have my Wikipedia on right now. Pardon
Will, thank you for that. We're up against the break.
Actually, we only have a four-hour show. So
we're up against some break.
We're up against the end of the show.
Okay.
The ice dancing I didn't see coming.
Ursula Andress reference I did not see coming.
Yeah, we did look up the movie, and then I had to scrub my search history because it's Bo Derek's, like, naked and the whole trailer. So they're really trying to sell that thing. And I believe Manny Rodriguez was in that day, and I think he watched the movie throughout the rest of the show on his phone.
Oh, jeez.
I think he had a Netflix account he could just log into.
Hope it wasn't on the Wi-Fi. The company Wi-Fi, that wouldn't go good for him.
Yeah, listen, I think Rodgers is playing a little games with us.
I think CeeLo nailed it.
He did.
He's playing a game.
He's planting different words in his press conferences to see if he can use them in a sentence, and I think Bolero is one of them.
Mm-hmm.